This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And we had a really exciting week, maybe the most exciting week we've had so far. Overtime game, a really close game with Almar and Fluvanna that came down to a last second field goal. Just a really fun, exciting week of football, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, a lot of high scores too, some good rivalry games. But yeah, the closeness of some of these games was a welcome sight after, you know, we were used to this last year. There was just so many blowouts, and this year sort of had a similar feel. So,
yeah.
Getting a change of pace.
And some milestones in the blowouts.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we're going to talk all about it, but let's start with the C&G Road Grader of the Week. And we got to give it up to a Nelson County team that has reached its highest win total since 2007 with 4 wins on the year. They are now in playoff position. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And it's the Road Grader of the Week has to go to the big man on the line, Alcindor Barnett, the big center, 350 pounds. He's 6'4". He's a monster, and he's helping a unit that's really clearing the way. James Johnson is another one on that group that's playing really well. We profiled him back in August, but Alcindor's got to get the nod here. The big man coming up with some big plays, some big blocks. They average a really healthy 6.6 yards per carry. 11 carries, 101 by George Brown. 13 carries, 75 for Felix Rodriguez. Just really exciting to see what Matt Hicks has done. And now they are in the Dogwood, where I think a lot of people would have easily counted it out. I could have been among those people that would have worried, like, okay, the Dogwood is really good. Are they going to be able to pick up some wins? They got 2 Dogwood wins under their belt already. They're playing really good football. And now they're looking, you know, they're in playoff position. And a big reason why, honestly, is that this offensive line has really come together. They protect their quarterback when they need to throw in George Brown, and he's had some really big statistical games and pretty good numbers over the year. And then they really do a nice job in the ground game of opening things up. And when you got a 350-pound center, that's a big reason why you're opening up some holes.
Yeah, 2 really tough assignments for Barnett there going in before this game with Chatham, facing Dan River and then Gretna in the 2 previous weeks. And obviously those are tough games. So they had to have this one against Chatham. Their season sort of hinged on it. It was that sort of must-win territory. And
they got it done.
Yeah, and at 6.6 yards per carry, 101 for George Brown, and then Rodriguez with 75. So like 24 carries and, you know, a 176 between the two of them. That's huge. Absolutely huge. And when you find confidence in a ground game, when you're a team that has struggled to do so for years and years and years, it just makes a big difference. All of a sudden people start trusting each other. Assignments become sort of, there's more pride in them.
Yeah.
And Barnett leading the way up front for them, that's huge. And 4-4 for Nelson County, that is a huge accomplishment for them. Obviously a program that's had to take baby steps to get here, and they've just sort of done the job and towed the line. And slowly but surely, you know, we talked about Nelson getting to 500 in previous Septembers and, you know, how that mattered for that community and that fan base and those kids in that program. Well, now here we are approaching November at 4-4, and the line play up front is a big reason why.
That's awesome. So really exciting to see what Nelson's done. They're really kind of this year's Fluvanna in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, man, I think we saw what Fluvanna did last year, and, you know, they got them off to a really good start this year. So hopefully Nelson can kind of keep building, keep trucking along. And if they end up in the playoffs, man, I mean, that is I don't know how they divvy up Coach of the Year down there in that Dogwood district, but what Matt Hicks has done is just
tremendous
pretty incredible.
Job, especially since they're coming from an independent schedule.
Yeah,
Jumping back into that Dogwood, that's just there's some dogs in there between Gretna, Dan River, and Appomattox, and obviously that's a huge one for Nelson closing out the year. they get to hit the road with William Campbell, hopefully pick up a win there. And then let's see if they can scrap it out against Appomattox. There's a Buckingham County tape for them to look at.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, if they want to see how it's
done. Get in there and run that night set. Yeah. You got to run that night set to get it done. So really exciting to see what Nelson's done. And you know, it's just a great story. And then because we had an offensive explosion this week, we got three players that are going to have to split that offensive player of the week nod. And let's start with Alex Williams in that huge game that you got to see down there at Fork Union.
Yeah, triple overtime tends to help stats in some ways. But in high school overtime, it doesn't add to your yardage. And actually, I mean, Williams gets a couple touchdowns in this triple overtime, but I mean, his stuff during regulation was nuts. But totals, I mean, he completed 9 passes. 6 of those go for touchdowns. He rushed for another touchdown, so he had 7 by himself there. Well, I mean, combined the 6 others. 4 to Elijah Hawks, who had a huge day, including the triple overtime winner there. And then Montego Moss with a huge game. I mean, you know, deep ball for a touchdown, an 80-yarder, and then a 75-yard screen pass for a touchdown. Big game from him. But Williams really spreading the ball around in different areas of the field, and he throws.
He's got some weapons, doesn't he?
He's got some weapons, and he throws a really nice ball.
Yeah.
That tall bomb, kid. That bomb to Moss was just on the money. It was a dime, hit him in stride. Nice spiral, floats it in the air. Just it was fun to watch him sort of whip the ball around against a collegiate defense that's normally known for having some good secondary players. But yeah, 289 yards for him, and. The biggest win for Fork Union since I can remember, probably dating back to 2012.
Yeah.
Maybe when they beat Benedictine in the state Final Four there. First time they'd beaten Collegiate. Collegiate was a little bit down in 2015, so was FUMA. So this is the first win for that senior group over Collegiate. Huge rivalry game for them every year. And puts them, you know, in an interesting position. St. Chris is sort of out in front in the prep league, but Williams and Fork Union now in position to make some noise with 2 games left.
Get in that Division I playoff.
And you know they're itching to beat Woodbury Forest. It's been a long time since they've had their number. But yeah, great performance from him. And like I said, this isn't him just chucking it in the air and hoping that Moss or Hawks goes and gets it. He can do that, but he's also finding them in medium space, intermediate space, on short routes and making reads. And it was just a fun game to watch. And I thought he showed a lot of leadership there during some adversity. Just a really calm kid. Doesn't get too worked up. Just sort of act like he's been there before. And, you know, for a lot of these Fork Union guys, they haven't been in this position before.
That's right.
And I thought Mark Schumann did a great job at the end of the game talking about, it'd be nice if we could have closed this one out a little differently, but there's nothing quite like this program over the last couple of years. Every game that they win has always been close, and there's nothing like a little bit of adversity to try and have to burn through, and just sort of the mentality that these kids have. So great game from him, and a great win for FUMA there, and we'll get more to the defensive side there in a minute. But a couple running backs we need to talk about.
Certainly. And Williams, by the way, 1587 on the year, 18 touchdowns. He's having a good year all around. Certainly he's emerged as one of the top quarterbacks in the area. So you throw that in. Now you got, like you said, you got to talk about 2 running backs reaching milestones. We have 2 guys, Jalen Alexander out at Orange, Dupree Rucker at William Monroe, that have now crossed the 1,000-yard mark. Really exciting to see. Always, every year we're keeping track of that. Making sure that we know when they're getting there. And Jalen Alexander, let's start with him. Over 5,000 for his career. That's a really rare feat.
Yeah, and almost 10% of that coming in about 2 games here between Charlottesville and Monticello. So, 17 for 213 and 3 touchdowns. That's a pretty healthy average there. I think that's 12.5 yards per carry. We saw this on the schedule for Orange that he was going to have a chance to open things up. And he has, and he joins that company in that 5K club with some pretty special runners.
Yeah,
it's not just that he does this every single game. Even in the games where Orange hasn't been in it, and he finds a way to get 100 yards. When he has to have a big game, he does. You're sitting there looking at it.
Yeah, we got it up. He is it, that puts Jalen Alexander in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So he's in the top 8 all time.
Yeah,
that's pretty incredible. There's only 7 or 8 You know, 7-8 guys have gotten into that 5,000 mark. You got Hayes Page at Nelson County, Terrell Mulford at Charlottesville, Joe Whalen got it there a couple of years ago, Leon Ragland a couple of years ago at Buckingham, Raymond Kirkley at Madison, John Perkins at Buckingham, and then the all-time, the GOAT.
Yeah.
Got to be Takeem Hedgeman over at Monticello, 2004 to 2007. I don't think 6,383 is getting caught again.
You got to make some playoff runs to get there.
Deep ones.
You can't, even if you're a four-year starter, I just don't know that you can catch that kid. I mean, Joe Whalen had some playoff runs in him.
Yeah.
Four-year starter, and he got to just over five. Obviously, they shared the ball a lot.
Yep.
So, you know, Jalen's in good position here to move past Joe there with two games left. So we'll see what happens there. And if Orange can get themselves a playoff game, that's still up in the air too. These milestones sort of bring out sort of, you know, personal accomplishments for a career. We know Jalen Alexander's been a great football player for a long time, and this just sort of cements it in stone, his name in the top 10 all-time in Central Virginia runners.
I thought an incredible quote from Jesse Lohr, his coach out there, talking about how the guy doesn't complain, even though he runs into like 9-man boxes on a regular basis. He just doesn't got to lose it. And I don't know, may not be running into any 9-mans after the week that Walker Johnson had. You know, Walker really played well at quarterback, 3 touchdowns, 8 of 10 passing. If you want to load up against Jalen now, you're going to pay. Mm-hmm. And Walker Johnson, he's in position
to make you pay. Washington is a deep threat for them. Yep.
Jarek is going to get loose. But Jalen Alexander, man, just a huge tribute. 5,000 yards is a huge tribute to what he's done over the totality of his career. He averaged 12.5 yards per carry against Monticello. The guy's just he's been a warrior, a tough dude for a long time, and he just continues. He plays a lot on defense too. There's no prima donna to his game. He's just the guy. He is a dude, and Jalen Alexander can really play. So it's fun to watch. And Dupree Rucker, is the other guy that crossed into the 1,000-yard mark. Not 5,000 on his career, but a tremendous couple of years that this guy has had, and he is putting together 200-yard-plus games on a regular basis. Right?
Yeah, he's had a real breakout season this year, sharing the ball a lot the previous couple of years, and put his team in position. I know they had a tough loss there. 2 weeks ago.
Against Brentsville, yeah.
But Monroe, he's got them sort of playing smash-mouth football, something that Rocha, Coach Rocha, had talked about coming into the season, the identity of what this program was going to be offensively, and he's got them doing that. And he's the kind of runner where that could be taxing, mm-hmm. on a kid built like that. But he hasn't shied away from it. He showed a lot of agility and speed, sort of avoiding getting touched in that regard, so that's huge for them too. And just a nice polished runner for Monroe, where if he can find the holes that his line creates, he can do some real damage for them.
Yeah, he's a special kid for them, and he's just really slippery. Like I said, he's adept. I've seen it just kind of getting through a crack. You know, he can twist his body, kind of slip through that crack, then reset himself, and then he's off to the race.
One of those, give him an inch, they take a foot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you think you've got a bottle up, and then suddenly he's slipping through you. So a really, really slippery runner. I realize I just made like a John Gruden like noise there.
That's a little more Chris Berman.
Is that, little Berman, little John Madden, yeah. Feel there. So, but Dupree Rucker is just, he's really a tremendous player. He's getting a lot of help from that offensive line and a fullback in Phillip Shiflett that can clear the way. We'd be remiss if we didn't say Jalen Alexander is getting a lot more push from his line this year. Those guys have really grown into it. It's great to see. He's just running through a little freer. And when that guy gets to the second level, it's really tough. Same with Rucker. So two really good backs, both are 1,000 yards. And then, you know, we know that we're going to probably see, you know, Jared Hunter get to that 1,000-yard mark. He's on his way.
Shouldn't be hard.
And Vijon Hampton down at Fork Union is awfully close as well. So it's going to be fun to watch kind of how these guys kind of stack things up over the next few weeks and see these sort of milestones, because guys have worked hard. Offensive lines have worked hard. Running backs have worked hard. And it's really clearly paying off. So that flips us over to Defensive Player of the Week, and it's got to be another Fork Union guy after that wild one that they got.
Yeah, Nasir Edmond had a huge game. This kid, he had been missing for a little bit there. Getting him back in the mix is huge for them. Two interceptions, both of which led to touchdowns for Fork Union. First one sets up a nice drive. Second one, it's in the red zone. It's in the end zone. It saves Collegiate from getting a touchdown. Collegiate isn't able to score there. Fork Union is able to take that ball, run it all the way downfield. That was another long drive. and a triple overtime win that, you know, they needed every score they could because Collegiate came back so strong in that fourth quarter. But yeah, having that presence in the secondary is huge for them. Mm-hmm. We've seen Fork Union over the years. They've had a lot of guys that can play corner really well. Some safeties in the mix there too. But adding depth to that never hurts. For a team that already has Moss and Hawks and so forth, having Edmund back there. And they were trying to pick on him, and he didn't let them. And he talked about it after the game, that he sort of, based on the tape, he knew. Trey Bull for Collegiate, outstanding receiver.
That's the tight end going to Wake, right?
He is really good. He's a big dude, too. He got his assignment there a couple times and found a way to sort of track him down and keep play keep away from them. Just a great performance in a game that was mostly offensive. You have to have a guy step up and create sort of turnover differential for them, and that's what Edmund did for them. Outstanding performance by him and the Blue Devils there.
And then the other guy who's got to get a Defensive Player of the Week nod, and we got, it's funny because his offensive numbers were off the charts as well, but Jonas Sanker had a sort of game-changing play against Stab with the 60-yard pick six.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the plays that you expect his offensive numbers to be what they are. They're just in line with what he's done the last 3 years.
Just at a different position.
Yeah. That's the thing that sort of breaks your back if you're St. Anne's, is that, you know, when Sanker comes up there and pick sixes you for a long one there, that's just, you can't have him being that offensive as a defensive player. That's the issue there. And a big win for Covenant. They had that one circled. Obviously, a rematch of the state title game last year, and they got to play these teams played three times last year. Hopefully they get to play twice. But if it's just once, Covenant definitely flexed some muscle there in a double-digit win. And Sanker obviously playing great. Just a problem. Everywhere he stands, he's a problem.
He'd be a problem on any team, certainly in the area, maybe any team in the state. He's a tremendous football player. 427 yards of total offense, including a 58-yard touchdown run on the first play. He just was awesome. I think 8 total touchdowns. That's off the charts. That's good. Again, with the 8-man game, you're going to see a little bit higher numbers. But reduce it to 6. 6 is pretty darn good. You know, a tremendous performance for Sanker in sort of the marquee game of their regular season. Just a big time effort. So, and then we don't do this very often, but we got to throw in a special teams player of the week this week because we had one of those special teams, you know, just monster plays. And Yusuf Ogbari coming up with the field goal to win it for Almar. Third time the guy has made a game-winning kick in a homecoming game. One extra point, 2 field goals. It's just routine for him at this point.
Yeah, obviously Brandon Isaiah has a lot of confidence in the kicker.
And rightfully so.
And just sort of built for this moment. And we saw what a big deal it was, you know, in the 2017 season, getting a big W there, doing it again last year, doing it again this year. And that was a must-win for Albemarle. I mean, obviously, they were sort of in an 8-team region sort of set playoff-wise, regardless of what happens. But they need this win to if they're going to try and improve that standing.
If they're going to try and avoid Mountain View is the bottom line.
Yeah, nobody wants that 8 seed.
Nobody wants that 8. They don't want to be playing Mountain View in the top. That they're clearly the number one team in Region 5D. They want to avoid it. And this was a game that they had to have, and they got it done.
And Albemarle sort of very similar in that position that Orange has been in, where you get out, this hole is just in front of you. You got to dig yourself out of it. And they get that first win after a couple tough ones, after losing to Orange. And you get a win over Monticello, and then you come out with a win over Fluvanna here. That's a big one. And then obviously there's one real big one looming for them. They've got a game with Western that we'll talk about a little bit later. But huge for Yusuf to come out there and kick that game winner. And it changes Almaro's, the tune of their season a little bit here.
It does, definitely.
Something a little bit extra to play for now.
Yeah, Yusuf, man, he's a guy that, you know, anybody that's on that Almar team is going to get coached hard by Brandon Isaiah. But Brandon does some kind of interesting things in the kicking game. He requires a lot of his kickers, whether it's kickoffs, whether it's, you know, placement, you know, these kind of things. He does, you know, Almar does some interesting things. And Coach Isaiah talked about it, that, like, you know, I'm hard on him. I make it really difficult. It's a hard life out here for Yusuf. And yet that guy just regularly comes into it. He knew it was good. He took off running towards midfield. Yusuf knew it was in. And frankly, you know, after seeing all those kicks over the years from him, those clutch kicks and the routine ones too, I felt like it was probably in and from the jump. And so a big performance for him, special teams player of the week. Maybe the first special teams player of the week we've done.
We haven't had a lot of kickoff
returns. So either way, a special award.
Happy to give it to a kicker.
That's right. Absolutely. So that takes us in. Let's talk about we're officially in the home stretch. We got most teams, for the most part have their season is kind of determined. We know where Louisa and Goochland are going to stack up as long as they finish the season as expected. We know, where some of these teams that have struggled to get wins, we know that it's probably going to not end in a playoff position for them. But several teams are facing really critical junctures down here in the home stretch. And let's start on the private side, where Blue Ridge is trying to put itself into a really good position, a tough loss to Roanoke Catholic. But they finished with Goochland and Bishop O'Connell. And I feel like winning one of these is going to be absolutely critical to holding on to second place in VISA's Division II.
Yeah, you look at that, North Cross, Blue Ridge, Christchurch, Atlantic Shores, and Blue Ridge holding up strong, 9 points behind North Cross, and then 9 points ahead of Christchurch just on their tail.
They beat Christchurch, they beat Atlantic Shores, like they should feel pretty good about that positioning.
But with Goochland coming in, obviously running a physical game, they're really going to get tested there. That's going to be a tough one, and O'Connell's another one. You need to go 1-1 in that. If you can go 2-0, all the power to you. That shows something. And it should set up nicely. I mean, you need that home game going into that 14 playoff that they have, playing that first one, not hitting the road as a 4-seed or a 3-seed. That makes a huge difference. And we'll see if they can pull that off. I mean, they have the skill position athletes to turn any game into a barn burner.
No question.
Between their receiving core and just the quarterback play, running back situations and really just all the tools that they have around them. Even sort of defensively, they can turn any sort of interception into 6 points really quick too. So that's huge for them. If they can lean on that sort of big play, big strike ability that they have, they have a good chance at making both these games very competitive.
Other one of private schools, Fork Union, is battling for a spot. We eight man, it looks like Covenant Stab, like we name checked earlier, it looks like they probably are headed for another collision course for another big game.
We'll be surprised if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, in the VISFL, that kind of handles the eight man. And then Fork Union is battling for a spot too. That was a massive must-have win against Collegiate. They got it done. That's really big. And we'll get an eye. Like you said, they got Woodbury coming up. They got some things happening that they've got to finish the job now.
That Collegiate win just sort of completely changed the next couple weeks for Fork Union because it was
everything's important.
Yeah, it was looking like, okay, maybe we're doing some swan song stuff here. If they lose that game, it'd just be hard for them to squeak past a Trinity Episcopal team in fourth place that they already beat last week, mm-hmm. or a Collegiate team that was in third place going into last week.
Yeah.
The ratings for the private schools come out a little bit differently than the VHSL ones.
Wednesday, I believe.
So we're still waiting on the new ones. But Fork Union could move past. Maybe they're stuck in five right now, but with wins against John Paul the Great and Woodbury Forest, they get a chance to make things interesting because
Collegiate's going to have tough. I think they still got St. Chris left.
Exactly.
Maybe.
And that's usually the end of the year game for them. And then Trinity's got tough opponents coming their way too. So they can find a way to squeak in. If they take care of business, they get to make it interesting. And it's since 2012. It's been a long time since.
Yeah.
Because Woodbury doesn't participate in the Division I playoffs, we haven't really sort of been able to talk about this bracket. But, I mean, Benedictine has been an absolute moose. Division I for a long time. That's sort of the team that you're always chasing. Collegiate went through some rebuilding, and now they're back up. St. Chris is having a huge year at 6-1. Trinity Episcopal moved up from Division II after sort of running the table back-to-back years and state title games there. Yep. Moved up to Division I and has made that more competitive. And, now Fork Union gets to throw its hat in the mix and see how different they can make this. This 4-5-6 positioning, maybe the three with Collegiate too, but you got a bunch of teams with three losses here, all trying to figure their way into that 3-4 spot.
And then, like we said, on the public side, Goochland and Louisa locked in pretty well. They got to finish the job, but they looked pretty locked in.
Big win
that
for
top
Goochland over Nottoway.
Yeah,
that helps them a lot. Louisa, I mean, they're up a couple points on Eastern View with a game you know, in hand.
Yeah.
So that's huge for them. Again, we talk about it every week, but when you beat Massaponics, it makes a difference to your schedule.
Getting points.
So, every week, Louisa just sort of looks at that one and is like, oh, man, that was nice.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference. And they close out with a couple big ones. They got Fluvanna coming up, too, and Western. So both big games for those other two teams involved in that, because when you switch over to 3C, those are your teams at 7th and 10th. Fluvanna was looking, maybe you had a shot at a home game. Now you're holding on for dear life.
Yeah. Because the finish of the schedule is not kind.
No, you got to beat Orange or Louisa.
Or Monticello.
Or Monticello.
And you maybe got to beat two of them to hold on to the...
Probably two of them. And you're going to be up against an Orange team that has everything to play for.
Yep. Because they're going to be trying to get in too.
Orange needs those points from Fluvanna for them to be able to move up. So that's going to be a huge game. I think it's the biggest JD game left on the slate. Orange is on a bye this week. They get time to prepare for that. That's huge for them.
Big ball game.
Yeah. Fluvanna and Western. Western sitting at 10th. And that brings up that Albemarle game. I mean, obviously beating Louisa would be monumental.
Sure.
Something tells me Louisa's not going to forget to show up for that game. That's a rivalry game.
Louisa doesn't forget to show up for anything.
No. Certainly not in the last couple of years.
No.
So that's a big one. But Western, Albemarle, looming in a couple weeks. Both those teams need that game. That is a must-have for both of them.
Big game. Big game. Western versus Albemarle. That one is decisive for maybe decisive for Western and for Albemarle, decisive on not having to play Mountain View in that first round. I can't stress that enough. You don't want to mess with that Mountain View squad right out of the gate. So and
the Orange's situation, just breaking them down. They're in 11th. They have to find a way to win these last two games. Find a way to beat Fluvanna. That's a big one for them. They got to jump Powhatan or King George or Huguenot. They've got some, you know, they're in 11th, but you look at the point standings, maybe they can do it, but you got to win, you got to close out the season 5-5. That's how it's going to have to be for them.
And we talked about Nelson. They got themselves back into it with that win over Chatham. And then Buckingham is fighting for a home game. That's really critical. That is a top-heavy region with like three teams with one loss right above them. So it could be difficult to move up. But if you can hold on, then you're in pretty good shape in a region that, you know, like I said, is top-heavy in the same way that like a Region 4B with Louisa and Eastern View and Monacan really is.
Yeah, you look at the positions there. Stewart's draft is not going to be caught in the one seed with 25 points. But then it's a dip into the 22s. You got Strasburg sitting there at 6-1. They've got 22 and change. They're tied with Luray, who has the same record, 22 and change. And then Buckingham, the same record with 22 flat. But you have a Nottoway game coming up, so that's a chance to move up.
And it's a 5-win team.
Yep, that Goochland just beat Amelia's soundly. So if you're watching that Buckingham Goochland tape, and then you're saying, okay, this is what we look like against the best team in our district, and that's what that team looked like against Nottoway, then hopefully, you know, transfer to properties, Buckingham should be able to handle business there and maybe slip past. I mean, they could get as high as two, but really, you're just trying to avoid lining up with draft in that second round. Obviously, don't take anything for granted. But yeah, playing Clark in the first round as the 5 seed there, that wouldn't be as much fun as, say, playing a Page County or an East Rock team that has been a little bit down this year. So we'll see how the rest of Buckingham season shapes out. Like the last couple years, with the exception of this Nottoway game, it's kind of the last 5 games are just in cruise control.
Yeah.
Trying to stay healthy.
Figuring things out.
And Tay Tony has done a great job of staying healthy. He had a huge game against Randolph Henry, a huge first half, and we'll see what they can do. That Walter Edwards and that group, I mean, they are with Cole Edmondson on that line, that is a physical ground game that come November when the weather gets cold is going to be a fun team to keep an eye on.
Football weather's here. Playoffs are coming. Home stretches here. A lot of football left to go, though. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with a whole lot more analysis. Hopefully another exciting week like we had this last week.